tenured coach in Philadelphia, can you kind of reflect back on years?
It's kind of the crazy reality of what we deal with, but it's unfortunate. I know Pete a little bit. He's a good guy, and I think as a coach, you understand that that's a possibility going in, but it's still tough. You know, I think that there's another college coach got let go this week at Miami of Ohio, and, you know, it's hard. It's a reality of our profession, and it's unfortunate, and you feel for the guys, and you feel for their families. So,
what were the results of Michael Vick's MRI, and will he play Sunday?
I don't know if he'll play Sunday. Right now he's day-to-day, and we'll see how he goes through the rehab process.
Did he already take the MRI?
Yeah, he took an MRI. I don't get the results. They just tell me what he is and what he is this season.
Wow.
Incoming.
I didn't really ask. They just said he's day-to-day. We'll see how he is. I don't know. You know, I know he probably won't be going tomorrow, but we'll see where it is after that.
I'm not asking this hypothetically. I'm asking this actually. Yeah. Can Nick Foles win the starting job by playing?
Can he win the starting job by playing? Well, if he's playing, then he's starting.
No, but can he win the job going forward if he plays well enough?
If he plays well? Yeah, there's always open competition. So, you know, Nick goes out there and goes 100 for 100 and throws 27 touchdown passes, and yeah.
And yesterday you said Mike's still your quarterback. Is that the case regardless of if he's out a week?
That's not the case for anybody. I mean, if someone comes in and puts on an unbelievable performance, you have to take it all into account. So that's my point.
What's the barometer for unbelievable? I mean, you said 100 for 100 and 37.
I don't know, and I don't have those answers, so we can go through this a million times. You know, if Nick plays this week and does an outstanding job, then that would be great for everybody involved. So,
Coach, I think it was part of here with the ring. You just reiterate that he's day-to-day for us.
Yeah, Mike's day-to-day. Had an MRI. They said he's got a pulled hamstring, and we'll see where he is coming back from that. So,
is there a grade on the injury?
I didn't ask that last. That's why I was answering that question earlier. They just said it was pulled, so we'll see how he is, and I know the Mike. I know he'll work extremely hard at the rehab part of it, and we'll see how he goes as the week goes along.
How long in the week can you go with him day to day?
How many days in the week are there?
There are 6 days until the game.
I don't know. It depends. I'm not a guy that I'm not going to tell you, Coach. You said Thursday, and then Sunday they say he's 100%, and I say he's playing. So I don't know until we see how it goes. I'm not going to predict the future. I don't know where we are with that. Okay.
Coach, does he need to be 100% in order to be able to go in your mind?
I'm not going to put him out there if it's going to hurt him, you know, and that's the biggest thing. And that's when he was in the game and we went back in, they thought he was good to go back in. And then I watched him try to get away from the rush, and, you know, that wasn't fair to Mike. And I'm not going to put him in that situation, so we'll see how he is.
Do you prepare, two different set of, plays?
We run the same. We do the same things offensively with Nick that we did with Mike. You know, so we didn't have to deviate much from anything, you know, in terms of what we're doing. And I think that's the beauty of those guys and having an understanding. We've had enough time with both those guys. You know, we've all been here since April that we got an understanding. Obviously, there are some things that Nick does a little bit different than Mike does, but it's not like we have to say, hey, we're going to be an I-formation team on Sunday if Nick's in the game. So,
after watching the film, what was the primary reason for the run game slipping after Nick went in?
I don't know if it slipped. I don't think I called as many run plays, you know, so I think if you're just going to look at it statistically, they started doing some line stunts up front and did a decent job with that. But I think we were trying to take advantage of some of the things they were trying to do with us coverage-wise and get some guys uncovered. And so it was more of, I think from a play call standpoint, there were a lot more passes called in the third quarter than there were previously to that. So.
Players said they didn't have to respect the read option once Michael went out. Is that what you saw looking at the tape, and how do you...
Defending it?
Yeah,
no, but we didn't really run the read option, so, you know, I think that's a big misconception. We didn't run much before that either, so, you know, it just depends on how many plays we're going to run. We ran some sweeps in there, you know, run an outside zone in there, so there's a little bit different concepts that we were running in the run game anyway, so...
Nick has been more productive in the red zone than Michael. It's limited, obviously, you know, body work, but... I think Mike is 5 for 19 in the red zone passing. He's got a couple running touchdowns. But any reason for that disparity? I think Nick had the 2 touchdowns
now,
in the red zone.
I mean, I do know this. I know we held on to the ball better. You know, our guys caught the ball better in the red zone. So, but I think there's too short to just say, you know, that second half, you know, compared to where we are. So, you know, I think as a team, we need to do it. Overall, as a team, we need to do a better job in the red zone. We still kick 5 field goals. on Sunday, and you know, we need to get those to be sevens instead of threes. So the entire team needs to do a better job in the red zone.
Coach, you said that the you didn't run that much read option on Sunday, and you said the game plan doesn't change regardless of who you have as quarterback. Do you feel like the read option is just as viable with Foles in there?
Depends on how teams are defending us.
Nick seemed to be in sync with the receivers and some anticipation throws and some timing throws, even the fact that he just come in kind of cold. And what does that speak to, the fact that he was able to have
I think it's, you know, the work that Nick gets in practice and how he prepares. And, you know, as we've talked to Nick since we made a decision at quarterback, as we've said before, you're a chin strap away from having to go in a game. And some guys, that's cliche talk, but other guys take that extremely seriously. So I think Nick has prepared himself like he's going to be the starter every single week. And when his opportunity came, I think he took advantage of it. So.
What stood out for you when you watched Nick, for better or worse, when you went and watched him in?
I think what stood out for me is basically where we are as an offense. I still think we're inconsistent. I think Nick was inconsistent at times when, you know, we could have delivered the ball and we had should have had some more plays. I think every game so far we've still left, even though we've been productive, we've still left a lot of yardage on the field. But I think, like Nick and Mike, both those guys understand what we really mean about not turning the ball over. That's two straight games without turnovers from either quarterback that's played in those games. And again, I think that the things that we get that we didn't have in the last couple of games, we got to clean up the penalties again. We had three false starts, which is kind of it's hard for us to understand how we're getting those, but we got to continue to work on those, and we got to pick up the drops.
Where do you think you guys are in the process of getting the play in and getting it run at the pace that you want? Is obviously it's still a work in progress, but do you see it improving as each game?
Yeah, I see us improving. I think our guys have a better understanding, so I'm pleased with where we are so far, but I still think we have a long way to go offensively.
How much do you think it helps Nick that he had all those reps with the first team during the offseason, and you know, he's played with those guys, he's played behind those linemen and all that?
I think it helps, you know, and that's part of what we do, is that we do get a lot of reps in OTAs and in mini camp and in preseason camp, and I think there's a reason to that, and there's a benefit to that. So, you know, if we had quote unquote named a starter last mini camp and everybody would have been happy because we had a starting quarterback, we'd be sitting here now saying, well, the second guy didn't get enough reps. You know, I think you know, as a group, we understand kind of how we approach this thing, and there's a reason we try to get as many reps as we do in the off season and in preseason camp, so that for all guys, they get an opportunity to go in there and play. You know, at tight end, we're rotating guys. At receiver, we're rotating guys. So at running back, we're rotating guys, because a lot of those guys have had opportunities in preseason camp and in back in OTAs to get reps. So I think that has benefited him.
How many snaps had he been getting in practice the last several weeks, roughly percentage-wise? You mentioned that they had backups have been getting some first-team reps.
Percentage-wise, I'd probably say 20, 15, 20. I don't know. Could be off of that. But he does get reps.
Significant.
He does get reps with the ones. And they get a lot of reps with, you know, simulating the other offense. I think they got a lot of work. They did a lot of really good work when they were, you know, the Denver Broncos week, because Peyton was a ton in the gun, throwing the ball, getting the ball out. So I think, you know, Nick got a lot of work that week too. You know, and if there's a lot of times when plays are similar plays from a pattern recognition standpoint, things like that, we try to put it into our terminology for him. So,
does Barkley get a lot of reps this, or I should say a lot? Does Barkley get more reps this week in case he's dressed?
Yeah, obviously, if Mike's not going to go full, then the number two quarterback and number three quarterback got to get more reps. So,
we all got more snaps or significantly more yesterday. Is that part of the direction you're trying to go, to identify some guys who can get a little more separation, or have you just been trying to work them in and it hasn't been happening up to this point?
Nah, that's just a credit to Jeff. I think we got him late. You know, he wasn't here in the offseason, wasn't here for most of preseason camp because of the trade. And when we got him, it's just a matter of Jeff starting to get a real good feel for what we're doing offensively and keep showing us things in practice every day that we need to get him on the field a little bit more. Pat's another guy this week. Those will be him and Mike will be the two guys we've got to keep an eye on. You know, I think he's improved, and it's just a matter of how he can function. I think his strength is back from what Chris told us, you know, so it's a matter of how he functions and carry himself around the field. But he's another guy. Him and Mike are the two guys are the two guys from an injury standpoint that we need to keep an eye on.
The teams are going to defend you differently with Nick in as far as your running game. Can you counter with different things that we haven't seen yet?
No, we're done.
Do you expect to have to make some changes in how
it just it does depend on how people are going to defend you. But the Giants' running game, the Giants' defense in the second half didn't change from what they gave us in the first half. So,
but they had a spy on Nick at some point. And then they when he was out of the game, they dropped the spy.
Not to film myself. They were playing man free. Where was that linebacker?
He was rushing a lot if Vic wasn't in there.
Yeah, that's what they do. That's the same MO that the Chiefs had, same MO we've had for the last couple of weeks. It's been the same exact thing. Look at the pass that Mike threw to Jason Avant for a touchdown after the play action fake. One guy took the back. When they realized Mike was in the pocket, then the linebacker adds. That's been a flavor of the week for the last 3 weeks against us. So,
what have you seen from Nate Allen the last 2 or 3 weeks? It seems like, you know, he's played quite a bit better at safety.
Yeah, I think Nate's improved. You know, again, him getting a grasp of what we're doing, getting a better understanding of everything that our defensive package entails. But I think he's starting to see things. Things are starting to slow down a little bit for Nate, and he's starting to get an idea of kind of what the route recognition is, what's coming at him, and things like that. And I just, you know, he's a guy that I've seen over the last couple of weeks really make some strides from an improvement standpoint.
There's only so many spots on a starting defense, but is Brandon Boykin a guy you would like to see a little more of?
No, I think he's doing a really good job at nickel, you know, and we're in nickel enough where I look at Brandon as a starter, you know, so I think it's really difficult. If we say, hey, we're going to flip Brandon out and go make him play outside now, then who's going to play nickel? You know, and I think we were down, especially with Pat out being at the safety position, we were down there a little bit. So, you know, I think he's fit in really nicely there. And when we're in nickel a predominant amount of time, we think of our nickel defense as a starting defense, depending on how people are going to deploy themselves. So,
I think you played 45 of 73 snaps, so there's still a number there that possibly not having one of the better guys on the defense out there, you know, isn't there sometimes the goal to get the best guys out there in defense? And
well, the guys in for what positions they're supposed to play, but I think when you're getting into a 21 game, it depends on what you're going to get. And you only got two receivers in the game. You know, we're certainly not going to bring Brandon in as a safety spot. You know, and we're happy with Fletch and Kerry outside. So.
Is Marcus the punt returner regardless of the spot on the field now?
It just depends on the situation and where we are with it. But we can use Deshaun back there. We have. I think, you know, it just really depends on where it is and depends on where Deshaun is, how many reps he's getting. You know, how does he feel? So, you know, we'll use him again this season. It just depends on really kind of how the situation is and who the kicker is, too. You know, you get an opportunity to return. I know where we get a little bit more spray kicks and lower kicks and balls bouncing around on the ground from the Giants. So that was part of our factor making into those decisions, too. But if you got a guy who's going to boom it and give us a shot to return some things, we'll try to get him in the game.
First quarter, 3rd and 9, you have a run with Hoyt for 5 yards. What was the philosophy on running on 3rd and 9?
We thought that was a good play call at the time based on the defense that they were deployed in.
You thought you could get a first down on that run? Would you have gone for it on 4th down if they hadn't taken the penalty?
Yeah, we got the ball over to 50, and we were talking about going for it on 4th down. So, but usually on 3rd and 9, like when you call a play, you're hoping you get a first down. So,
well, of course,
we weren't going to take a knee.
Right, you're a math guy. I mean, the percentages of running on 3rd and 9.
But not if people are playing man-to-man coverage and totally turning your back on what's going on and you have no run support. You know, that's part of the thought process when you do that. If, you know, if you're just going to just totally abandon and you catch people when they're just totally trying to play the run, you know, and just say totally trying to play the pass, you know, a lot of people pop runs in those situations. So.
Sorry to be repetitive. Any reports that are out there that says a decision has been made on next week's starting quarterback are inaccurate?
We have not made any decision on who our starting quarterback is next week.
Largely could conceivably be a chin-strap away this Sunday. How do you feel like he's coming along? Do you think that he's ready?
Yeah, I think Matt's really done a nice job. You know, it's hard when you have 3 quarterbacks and getting reps and things like that. Matt does a really good job on the scout squad. I know Billy takes those guys individually every day during one of our team periods, whether it's Nick or Matt, takes them through a kind of a throwing progression. We've worked Matt out every day before, every Sunday before games, you know, and I've seen Matt improve. And I think the one thing about Matt is he's, you know, he loves football. So he's around here all the time. He studies all the time. Obviously, he's not going to have as many reps as you would feel really comfortable in with a guy getting thrown into that situation, not going to have the reps that Nick had. But I feel comfortable in what Matt can do as a quarterback.
When Nick, during the preseason, he didn't really throw the ball downfield that much. Against the Giants, he seemed to throw a bunch of balls downfield. Why do you think that was? Is it more of the
play call?
What they were doing? Was it the play call?
Play call and kind of what the defense is giving you. So, you know, I think part of where you throw the ball is about being a good decision maker. And I think a lot of times in Nick's situation in preseason, we'd call some things down the field, but they're in coverage, so Nick would check it down, which is what he's supposed to do.
When teams blitz your offense, do you view that as an opportunity to be aggressive and to take advantage of a weakness in the secondary?
Specifically or in general? Sure.
you have a chance to?
You can follow if you want. I don't know. People aren't listening as much.
No, I was kind of looking at it from the opposite point of view. When your defense blitzes, I know for some quarterbacks it's a green light for them to go take advantage of an opportunity.
But that's football. You know, when you bring one more than they can protect, you also expose yourself on the back end. You know, so now you're playing man with no help. You know, so now you have to cover them. You can't funnel them to your help, and that becomes that great chess match in the game, you know. And then do you show blitz, but then bail and play zone and try to get him to elicit a hot throw and try to get the ball thrown quick, and then we rally and go make a tackle, and you kind of go back and forth between that game, you know. And the guys that are the best at it, and right now, you know, the Peyton Mannings of the world, it's very, very difficult to fool them, you know. And he's five games in, and no one's really fooled him yet. You may get him on one play, you know. I still look at the I think the best play he made when he played us was when they tried to get, you know, was over towards their bench. We tried to get him on something and it wasn't there, and he just took the ball and threw it in the back of Welker's calf. Like, he wasn't going to make the play. He just, all right, give me second down now, I'll go now. You know, he kind of came here, it's not there, ball's on the ground, all right, give me another snap. And then two plays later, they're in the end zone for a touchdown. So, you know, it just depends on who you are. And I think when you're playing a younger quarterback, you can fool them a little bit more. And that's kind of what that process is about. It's you're playing that catch 22 of, if you do blitz them, are you getting home in time and really getting some pressure? And I thought what happened in the fourth quarter is we got pressure on Eli, and we had guys in his face, and then all of a sudden we got the ball coming out, and to get three fourth quarter interceptions, it was a byproduct of not only the coverage, but it was a byproduct of the pressure too. So
why didn't you get pressure in the first three quarters? Do you think that
we were getting pressure? You know, that's what I really think, and it's sometimes it doesn't go in the stats, but you get three intentional groundings. You know, to me, to be honest with you, an intentional grounding is like a sack, because not only do you gain the yardage, but it's also a loss of down. So it doesn't go in the stat book as a sack, but an intentional grounding, for lack of a better thing, is I'm throwing the ball away because I'm going to get sacked, and the rule's in there for that. So you got three intentional groundings from them, and you got three interceptions from them. So I felt like our defense did a good job of getting pressure on them.
Did you get a look this morning at the apparent safety, and any thoughts on why it wasn't a safety?
Yeah, I got a look on the ride home on the bus when we watched it on film. So they said it wasn't a safety, so it's not a safety.
As a problem.
I mean, did you think it was a safety?
When they say it's not a safety, it's not a safety. I go by how they play. So
did
that's
you get
what
any kind of explanation on it or anything? Or?
Yeah, they said it's not a safety. So
you didn't think that Michael took any unnecessary hits, but there was one in which Justin Tuck almost looked like he kneed him to the ground after he threw the ball. Did you see that one? And did you have any idea on what happened there?
I don't recall that one, so I can't give you that answer.
As a follow-up to the Jeff Mayle question, those snaps came at the expense of Riley, it seemed. How's Jeff's blocking on the edge, and do you see that continuing going forward?
I think Jeff does a good job on the perimeter in the block game. That's one thing about Jeff. That's why he plays on our kickoff cover team. He's got some toughness and is a physical guy, you know. And so I, you know, that's one of the things that I think you like about him. And we talked about that all along, is that if you're going to have a guy that's not your starting receiver, he has to be able to contribute on teams. He just can't be a really good receiver, because you're carrying a roster spot where that guy should be able to play on teams for you. So, you know, I'm excited to see where Jeff continues in his development, wherever it may be. You know, we're cross-training Jeff because he's really technically our fourth receiver. He's playing in the slot, he's playing on the outside right, he's playing on the outside left. You know, I don't know exactly where it gets him, but if he keeps practicing well, then we need to find ways to get him on the field even more, whether it's in the slot or outside, inside, whatever. So
Chief, just following up on that third and nine question, when you call a play with that down distance, do you always think you're going to get a first down?
I hope we're going to get a first down.
With Cedric playing the nose now, which he had never played before, you guys did it again. When you did it against Denver, was that you were going to see how he did it as a full game as your starting nose, and then you liked it, so you did it again, or were you decided by that point?
What I think was said, you know, that gives you it, is I think he's gotten a little bit bigger since we got here in April. He's almost between 315 maybe now. You know, he's starting to gain some weight. And I think that versatility, you know, if we got guys that can play two gap on a tackle, but also play two gap on the nose, because essentially it's the same technique, you know. But I think Sed adds that element of athleticism in there too, where he's just not a run stopper first and second down player. I think, you know, if it's run, or if it's really more importantly, if it's play action pass that turns into, you know, it started out as a run and then all of a sudden he can turn that run read into a pass rush. You know, again, he was our most productive D lineman. You know, I thought him and Fletch played really well up there. But I think that versatility, where his ability to play end and play those, there's not a lot of guys that can do that. But I think because of his strength, he can do that. So we've worked him there. You know, I know Az has worked all those guys. They kind of rotate those guys in there and kind of seeing what their best spots are. And he did it a little bit in preseason, but it's not an experiment. I think it's just the versatility that Sed gives us. And you know, as we start to develop, I know we're really pleased with our young defensive lineman. I think Benny really is coming along. You know, Vinny's starting to play a little bit more and starting to grasp things. You know, Damon Square is a guy in practice, although he's inactive right now, that has really done a lot of that for us too. So I think, you know, trying to develop those young guys is a real important thing for us right now. And I think because we're developing pressure with those guys, so.